Praise God. That's what we do every day that we live, when we live upright for Jesus. Doesn't take a lot of energy, just stomp him. We're glad to have Brother Forkpaw with us. What you just experienced that helped us to experience tonight will be repeated Friday, and then Sunday, Saturday at our banquet, and Sunday morning and evening. So we'll be having singing and worship as much as we could get African style. Sister Fabian asked me what I meant by African style. I said, well, I can't talk real well because I'm a white man, but I've been there before, so I know what it's like. What I mean by that is I've been in some of their services before and eaten their meals before and so forth like that. So I have an idea. So we're going to try to repeat that because there's something special about that kind of worship in different cultures. Praise God. And the way people worship God, and it's simple, but they're very full of the love of God and the desire to do the will of God. We're so honored to have Brother Forkpaw with us. He has been involved in ministry for a long, long time. I believe he said he started preaching as early as 17 years old, or was that earlier than that? He'll tell you more about that, but his exciting testimonies, as time goes along, I'm sure he'll share some of this with us. He has books out front that are for sale to help him with his ministry. Pray for this man. I want to tell you that he may not tell you this, but he's told us he has been away from his wife and his children for 7 years. 7 years. He's hoping to get his wife here soon, hoping to get his family here soon, but he has a burden. That's what he's doing here. I don't know if I could stay here 7 years away from my family with that kind of burden, but that's the burden he has. And he wants to see African churches established throughout America. That's part of the reason that he's here with us today. So you continue to just pray for him and his family. Support him in your prayers. Ask God to bless his ministry. Give him leadership and direction. Let's give him a good hand as he comes to minister to us.
Hallelujah. Now that was just for a man. Now let's give it up for Jesus. Real, real, real big. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's do better than that. Give it up for Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Let me take this time while you are standing to give a special thanks to Pastor Grant and First Lady of this house, Carrie Gospel Church, for allowing me to come. Amen. This is a great church. This is a wonderful church. I've learned that behind every good church is a great pastor. Let's give it up for Pastor Grant and the First Lady of this house. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. And I've also come to realize that behind every great and successful pastor is a great First Lady. Let's give it up for the First Lady of the house. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Thank God for Pastor O'Neill, Pastor Thomas, and I heard that Senior Pastor Russell is also in the house. We just want to give the Lord a clap offering for these great people that are working alongside. Amen. To make this all happen. Now, the fact that you show up tonight, I give yourself a hand right now. Amen. For showing up. Thank you for our special guest. Hallelujah. It's my pleasure to greet you from this podium in Jesus' mighty name, the only name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Amen. Your Bible's in your hands. Or if you will stand, Pastor Grant, you don't have to stand. I understand you have some problems with your bags. And if medically, if you can't stand, that's fine, okay? I understand that. But in honor of God's word, let's stand. And the scripture tonight is found in the book of Daniel chapter number 3. We're going to commence reading with the 23rd verse. Daniel, amen, 3:23. Are you there? Say amen. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. They are loose, and they are walking. That sounds like revival to me. The subject tonight is simply this: revival in the fiery furnace. Revival in the fiery furnace. What I want you to do tonight is to lay down your Bibles. If you have a Bible in your hand, if you have an iPad, if you have any notebook in your hand, I understand some of you are writing. Put everything down. Except if you have a baby in your arms, don't drop the baby, okay? Don't drop the baby to the floor. But you have anything else in your hand, just lay it down. What I want us to do right now is to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And I want us to fill this house with some real apostolic Pentecostal noise tonight. I can hear you raise your voice. Make some noise in the house. Oh, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, he let come before his presence with singing. Shout unto the Lord. Make some noise. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. Make some noise. Make some noise. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise your name. We worship you tonight. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, we magnify your name for the wonderful things you have done. We thank you, we praise you, we worship you. Heal the sick tonight, God. Revive us again. Fill us with your spirit, oh God. Strengthen the weak, oh God. Lord, raise the spiritually dead tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh God. God bless you. You may be seated. I don't hope to keep you very long. You know, I'm from Liberia, West Africa. And most of the time in the village, we don't have anything else to do but to kick back and have church all day long. Amen. I understand this is the great United States of America. And you wonderful people have to go to work, got to pay the bills. So I don't want to keep you very long. And one of the reasons why I'm not going to keep you long tonight is because I want to come back and preach again. Usually when your first service, if you go too long, people say, well, that guy, he's too long-winded. And somebody shout revival. This is actually my testimony, okay? My testimony. Along with preaching, I'm going to just mix all together and give it to you in the nutshell as the Spirit of the Lord leads tonight. Amen? Amen. It's wonderful to stand in this anointed pulpit of such great man of God like Pastor Grant. I still want to repeat that. He's a very great man in our fellowship, and I'm very honored to be here today. Revival in the fiery furnace. By fiery furnace, I mean, you know, those difficult circumstances in our lives when we find ourselves with our backs against the wall, when we don't know which way to turn. Amen. That's a fiery furnace. When the doctor's report comes back and it is not encouraging, that's a fiery furnace. When you lose your job and the bills continue to show up in the mailbox, that's a fiery furnace. Amen. When your loved one walks away from you, leaving the children with you alone to raise, that's a fire-red furnace. But I've come to tell you tonight that regardless of where life puts you, the fourth man is always there on your behalf. Somebody say amen. Amen. Revival simply means coming back to life again. That which was dead and is coming to life again. That which was fainted is getting strengthened again. That which was back, amen, that which has its back on the wall or against the wall, but is bouncing back to life again. Somebody shout revival. You know, I grew up in a little country church back home. And as a little child, when I was born in 1956, the missionary, that's in 1955, actually, the missionaries had gone to my village in 1952, and they planted a church, a very wonderful church. When I grew up to be of Sunday school age, everybody in my village was going to church. So I went to church too. Well, there was nothing else to do. And one of the things that kept me going back to church every Sunday morning was the fact that the missionaries used to be very kind and would divide candies on Sunday morning on us kids. You know, you went to church and met, you came back with a handful of candies. So I kept going back for more candies. Well, you know, I just want to be honest with you tonight. People go to church for different reasons. That's what I went to church for some candies. But I guess that's what Paul meant when he said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When I became of age, I didn't go to church anymore because everybody in my village was going to church. I went to church because I wanted to know God for myself. When I became of age, I didn't go to church anymore because of the candies. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to know God in the power of the Holy Ghost and in the rest power of his resurrection. When I became a man, I went to church. I will never forget when I found myself at that old-fashioned altar of repentance. I repented of my sins. Amen. And I raised my hands towards heaven and said, oh, Jesus, I know you died for my sins. I know you went to Calvary for me. I want to be saved. Forgive my sins and fill me with the Holy Ghost. I will never forget that wonderful day when there came the bubble from heaven and filled my soul, and the Lord baptized me with the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. Just like the Bible says, I was baptized in water in Jesus' name for the remission of my sins. And ever since that wonderful day, church have been an exciting place. You didn't hear me. I said, ever since that wonderful day, church have been an exciting place. When you have the Holy Ghost, amen, church is not a dead, dried, boring place. Church is an exciting place. Once you have the Holy Ghost, that's what David meant when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, for in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Somebody shout joy. When you have the Holy Ghost, it's joy on Sunday, joy on Monday, joy on Tuesday, joy on Wednesday, joy on Thursday, joy on Friday, joy on Saturday. Somebody shout joy. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Amen. It brings joy. Amen. When the world is crying, when the world is weeping, you still have joy. You have joy when it rains. You have joy when the sun shines. You have joy when you're down. You have joy when you're up. Somebody shout joy. Give the Lord a clap offering. One of the things I remember in the days of old were the days of revival. Amen. And how we long for those days to come back. Somebody shout revival. It's a bounce back from the dead. It's coming alive again. Amen. And I always wanted to go back to that kind of services where when people came in sick, they went out healed. Amen. They came in as sinners, but when they left the sanctuary, they were singing glory, hallelujah, born again of the water and of the spirit. That's what I remembered about the old country church. Amen. And I've always longed. I said, God, take me back to that place of revival. Amen. I love to see people come to church. Amen. But when they leave, they are shouting. You know what gets me sick and tired? Not this church. This is a fine church. This is a growing church. But I'm so sick and tired of religion where people go in sick and they come out sick. I'm sick and tired of going to a church where people go in depressed and come out depressed. I'm sick and tired of churches where people go in discouraged and they come out discouraged. It's time to change it. It's time for revival, because these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. They shall cast out devils. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Somebody shout yes. Somebody in the house shout yes. That's what we long for. Revival, revival, revive us again, oh Lord. Fill us with your love. Let that Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Revive us again. And then the Lord began to say, son, the road to revival is attended with difficulties, problems. Amen. Common example, the three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in their own homeland of Judea. They were good people, but there was nothing happening. You know what happened to us? Amen. We don't realize, and we need to realize that this church, including this church is full of good people. You didn't hear me. I said this church is full of good people. Your town is full of good people. But I've come to realize that God is not looking for another group of good people. God wants better people. God is not interested in another good church in this town. There are so many good churches in this town. God wants a better church. A church full of power. A church of revival. A church full of the Holy Ghost. A church that can transform the lives of people. That's the kind of church God is looking for. And this church, Calvary Gospel Church, is on its way somewhere. You didn't hear me. I said this church is in transition. You didn't hear me tonight. Oh, Lord. The church. Somebody shout hallelujah. You see, the point of the matter here is, as good as we are, none of us has arrived yet. We're all in transition. Oh, Pastor Graham, this church is on its way somewhere. God is taking this church to the next level. That's what I love about this church. When I look out in the congregation, I see white faces. I see black faces. I see brown faces. I see yellow faces. This looks like heaven to me. This is what heaven is going to look like. This is heaven's stubborn church. A church where everybody is welcome, regardless of the color of your skin. You are welcome to this Calvary Gospel Church, regardless of your cultural background, regardless of the kind of funny accent some of us speak with. It doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is where you are going. You didn't hear me. It doesn't matter where you came from. What I preach against across America is this is a fine country, fine churches, but the best is yet. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said the best. It is not right for us to get complacent. I'm not saying your church is. This church is not a complacent church. This church is in transition. This church is on its way somewhere. But amen, some people feel they already arrived. No, no, no. You know what? When I go to church, I don't care what kind of church is. I don't sit back and fold my arms. I sit at the edge of my seat because this might just be the day that the Lord has made. This just might be time for revival. This might just be time for your breakthrough. Don't sit back. Don't fold your arms. A revival time at Calvary Gospel Church. Come on, put your hands together. Somebody shout revival! Yes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find themselves in a strange land. Have you ever found yourself in a strange situation? One of the things I couldn't understand, Pastor Grant, you know, growing up in our little country church was, why is it that God allows bad things to happen to good people? It didn't make any sense then. It still don't make any sense. Because what makes sense to me in my human mind is bad things should happen to bad people. And good things should happen to good people. But I come to realize that it doesn't always work like that. When I read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I begin to realize that sometimes God allows bad things to happen to a good person. But when bad things happen to a good person, it is with the intent of making a good person a better person. The Bible said these three young men, children in whom there were no blemish, they were good people. They were intelligent people in mathematics and in science. These were the most intelligent people in the land. God-fearing people, including Daniel. Daniel was so good that he prayed to God three times a day with his window open toward Jerusalem. But when trouble came, Daniel was not exempt. Isn't that funny? How... I don't care how many times you pray a day, trouble will still come. I don't care how many times you fast a week, trouble will still come. I don't care how many times you pay your tithes and your offering. You are a good person. You are not exempt from life's problems. But I stop by to let you know that regardless of what the devil does, God has promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. When you go through the fire, I will be with you. Fear not, for I am with you. God will take you through it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Three things I did to this young man. I want to hurry up and close, okay? But three things. I don't have the time to go through all three, but at least two of them. The first thing that did to these three young men was they changed their location. Took them from their homeland into a strange country. Even though they were good people. Amen. People feel that when they change your location, they can also change your relationship. But our walk with God is not locational. It is relational. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. You see, I'm from the jungle of Africa, my dear sister. There where the Lord met me and baptized me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And put the joy in my spirit, turning around, took my feet and planted on the solid rock. You see, it doesn't matter now where I am. You didn't hear me. I said it doesn't matter my location. You can change my location, but you can change my relationship with God. You didn't hear me. It doesn't matter. Hey! I said, hey! I told Pastor O'Neill or Thomas that I get crazy for Jesus. When it comes to praising God, I plead insanity. Because you see, if the ball players, if the people can go on the field on Sunday and make some crazy noise, I don't know about you tonight, but I came to make some noise. If that's being crazy, I don't want. Somebody shout yes. Somebody in the house shout yes. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul, somebody shout my soul. My soul cries, praise God for. Hey, I say, hey, when you see me shouting, I'm not crazy. I'm just thinking. Tell your neighbor, I'm just thinking. I'm thinking about the goodness of Jesus. When you see me shouting, I'm not crazy. I'm just thinking where he brought me from. I'm just thinking. For no one knows like I know. Nobody knows like I know what the Lord has done for me. Somebody shout revival. Hey, by the way, that's what revival means. It means to bounce back. You know how we're going to have revival? When all the sleepy folks wake up in church. Somebody shout revival. When all the critics begin to forget about criticism and begin to worship God. When all the mourners begin to dance. When all the sorrowful people begin to feel joy. Because when the fourth man comes, he comes to turn things around. He comes to turn your mourning into dancing. He comes to turn your sorrow into joy. Somebody say yes. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. I feel revival in the house. I feel revival, revival in the fire. Shama no boshete. Yelelelele moko taya bahaya. Hey, listen. I'm not through yet. They changed their, you know what? You may be seated. God bless you. You're doing real fine. You know what? An apostolic is apostolic regardless of where she or he is. It has nothing to do with your location. Sometimes, my brother, when I'm in one of our churches, some of our churches, and I get real wild. Well, analysts are speaking, I get worse than this. And somebody might say, well, preacher, calm down. This is not Africa. This is the great United States of America. And my answer to them is, you know what? I don't even care. I don't even care. My location has nothing to do with my relationship. I'm still the one God, apostolic, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost filled, Jesus name baptized. I'm still apostolic. You believe it? Say yes. Oh no. I don't change my worship simply because I'm in a different location. The second thing they did was they changed their names. They denote Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not their Hebrew names. Those were heathen names. Isn't it funny how the enemy can change your name and give you another name and wants you to act according to what he is calling you? Don't allow what the enemy calls you makes you to change who you are. I said, don't allow what the enemy calls you makes you to change who you are. They call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But deep down in their heart, they were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Deep down in their heart, I don't care what enemy calls me. I'm still the one God apostolic. Call me what you want. I'm still Jesus name baptized. Call me what you want. I'm still a child of God. Somebody say yes. Isn't it funny how you come to church and you came all fired up to worship God, and the enemy comes and say, calm down. You're too sick tonight. Amen. You can't worship God tonight. But I heard another voice from heaven saying, let the sick say, I am healed. The devil comes and says, you don't have enough money. You are too poor. The enemy says, you are too poor to pay your bill. But I heard another voice from heaven saying, let the poor say, I am rich. Yes, our God is a great God. His eye is on the sparrows. If God can feed the birds of the air and clothe the flowers of the field, oh, you better believe he will take care of you. He's a great God. He's a good God. I don't care what enemy says. God is a good God. I don't care what a politician says. Our God shall supply not some of your needs, but all. Somebody shall all. Somebody say all. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Clap your hands and get happy. Somebody shout revival. So the three Hebrews found themselves in a strange land. The king put up a golden image and said, if you don't bow, you're going to burn. I said, God bless you, may be seated. Say, king, we are not even careful to answer you when it comes to this matter, because the God that we serve is able. Somebody say he's able. To deliver us from the fiery furnace. But then he added another clause and said, even though he might not deliver us from the fiery furnace, we are still not going to bow. You know what? Because God God doesn't always save from the situation. Sometimes he saves in the situation. The fire is burning. Their hands are tied. Their feet are tied. Heaven is so silent. Amen. As far as the king was concerned, it was over. Let me say something and I'm in a hurry, okay? Amen. Isn't it funny how the enemy thinks he got it all figured out? When you're going to die, the enemy is lying. He's the father of lies. The devil doesn't have the power anymore to kill you if he wanted to. Once he had that power, but he doesn't have it anymore. Because when Jesus died, he appeared to John on the island and said, I am he that liveth and was dead. I'm alive forevermore. And I have in my hand the keys of death and hell. The devil doesn't have the keys anymore. If the devil had the keys to death, you wouldn't be here. Didn't you know the devil wanted to kill you last year? Hey, by the way, this is 2012. The devil wanted you dead 2011. But he doesn't have that power again. Jesus took the keys from him. You ought to be happy over that. If Jesus doesn't open the door, you are not going from here. You are going to be here. You ought to rejoice because our friend has the keys. So the fire is burning. And the king turned around to the three boys and said, hey, it's time to compromise. You bow or you burn. And the Hebrews turned to him and said, King, you must have forgotten. We are Hebrews. Hebrews don't bow. Apostolic Pentecostals don't bow. Hallelujah. Having done all to stand, stand. Amen. I know people are compromising, but we need to stand. We need to stand as a one God people. We need to stand for water baptism in Jesus' name. We need to stand for the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. We need to stand for holiness. Somebody show yes. They are still standing. And then the king ordered his mighty men in the kingdom to take hold of these three young men. Where was heaven when all this? Where is God when it hurts? Hear me, people. Where is God when it hurts the most? Isn't it funny? When your back is against the wall, it seems that heaven collects all the patience. You know, just... Heaven is very patient. You know what? God is not in a hurry. Because you see, nothing is getting out of control. Nothing is all planned. Hey, this fire that is burning before you is just a test. The fire is not intended to destroy you. It's intended to develop your faith. The fire is not intended to punish you. It's intended to prepare you for the next level. I don't know who I'm preaching to here today. The fire is burning. The trials and temptation have been intensified by the devil. And the devil is saying, I'm going to put you inside. You are never going to come out again. But that's not why I heard from heaven. Heaven is saying, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, it will not overflow you. When you go through the fire, it will not burn you. It's just a test. They tie their hands and threw them bodily into the fiery furnace. Actually, what was happening here, my brother, this was execution by fire. When the king looked into the fiery furnace, my brother, he didn't expect any movement. Oh, you didn't hear me, church. I said, when the king looked into the fiery furnace, he expected everything to be quiet. He expected everything to be still because you know what? Dead people don't move. Dead people don't shake. That's the problem with Ezekiel's dry bones. Amen. The Bible said there were very many. Lord, they were very dry. But it was quiet. When Ezekiel prophesied, the Bible said there was a noise. Oh, we need to learn to make some noise. There was some shaking. Where there's life, there's shaking. Where there's life, there's noise. On the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there it appeared unto them quivering tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gives the utterance. And when this was noise abroad. Oh, no, it was not a fine preaching that brought the people. It was a noise. Oh, you didn't hear me. On the day of Pentecost, when the crowd came running, they came running because they heard the noise of a church that was alive. A noise-making church is a growing church. A quiet church is a dying church. Come on, revival. I'm going to make some noise in this place. I'm going to make some crazy noise in this place. So the king looked into the fiery furnace. It's supposed to be quiet. It's supposed to be still. But you saw a foot going up, hands going up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, amen. They are really celebrating. That's what they are doing. They are celebrating. Celebrating. Celebration over the fire. Celebration over your trials. They are walking. They are loose. Somebody said they are loose. Oh my God, give us a church that is loose. Our churches need to be loose. Loose from emotional stress. Loose from sickness. Loose from disease. Loose from sin. Loose from worry. They are loose and they are walking. Hey. But listen to this. They are loose. They are walking. King went to the mouth of the fire furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth. And the Bible said they came walking out. That's not how they went in. It doesn't matter how you come to a Pentecostal church. What matters is how you leave.
Amen.
Hey. Hey. I say, hey! Oh, my God. That's not even my nose. You know, I tell people when I go to church, a fine church. This is a fine church. This is a good, this church can preach you to death. This is a fine church. But before I came today, I made up my mind that I was going to praise him. That I was going to give him some crazy praise. You say, what if nobody's doing it? That's not my problem. Oh, I know. I came to give you some praise. I came to give you some worship. Hallelujah. Some of you can sit if you want to. But I came to have revival in the fiery furnace. You know why the three Hebrews, they didn't wait until they got outside the fire before they could start having revival? Have you ever been sick in church, you didn't feel like worshiping God, but you worship God anyway, because while you are worshiping God, your healing has come down. Yes, you gotta worship God regardless of the pain. Worship God regardless of your feelings. You say, preacher, are you shouting because everything is okay? No, everything is okay because I'm shouting. Do you feel good? Are you shouting because you feel good? No, I feel good because I'm shouting. Are you shouting because you are healed? No, I'm healed because before the healing, I'm already shouting. I'm already shouting. Oh, my. They came walking out. And some of you are going to walk out of this place tonight differently. Oh, you didn't hear me? Then you came. Every sickness, every emotional distress, every psychologically, amen, entanglement, every physical hindrance that the devil has put on you, the foreman is going to loose you, is going to burn it, every sickness is going to go. Somebody shout yes. What it really did was they came dancing out of the fire, and the old king knew that instead of, you know what I like about God, he comes in and he turns your funeral into a revival. I don't have the time. Do you know when Jesus was on earth, he didn't go to too many funerals? Because whenever Jesus showed up at a funeral, he went there to mess it up. Somebody say amen. Amen. When he showed up in the fiery furnace, he went there to do business. He went to set the captive free. For him whom the Son set free, he freed him. He went to untie his people. And the four men that's in the house tonight, to untie your hands, untie your feet, untie your mind, untie your future. Somebody say yes. I'm loose. I'm set free. I'm made free in the Lord. You know, I don't like to preach a message without sharing my own testimony. You know, if God bless you, maybe said I'm closing. A few years ago, the devil took my wife. My wife was expecting a child. Took me and cast her into rebel held territory. Those of them that are from Africa can understand the civil war that came to Liberia, killed 250,000 people. Amen. We found ourselves in that war. Long story short, escaping from Monrovia because they were throwing bombs. The guys with their AK-47 rifles were entering houses and killing people, shooting pregnant women, opening up the stomach of pregnant women, bringing out young babies. Amen. Amen. So my wife and I ran among 50,000 people on foot, displaced from our home. Some of you good Americans don't know what it means to leave your house. You can't drive your car. You can't take any money. You can't take any food. All the banks are closed. All the stores are closed. You don't even know where you're going to spend the next night. You run out of your house. Some people even ran out in their night clothes out in the street. We are gone just a little distance up the hill. We're in the hands of rebels. My brother, there were dead bodies all over the streets. Decomposed bodies. People that have been killed freshly. People that have been killed for weeks without any burial. Amen. We were walking through the valley of the shadow of death. They grabbed a man right by us. Before the man could say anything, they shot him and he fell down dead. My wife and I, We were running. Amen. We came to a place and the rebels all around with their long knives and the AK-47 rifles, painted faces, looking very fearful. One of the rebel soldiers just kept staring at me. And I thought this guy knew me. So as a child of God, Holy Ghost filled, I didn't want to show any fear. So a big old smile just broke across my face. Have you ever been scared and forced to laugh at the same time? I was scared, man. I was scared. But I was forced to laugh. I was forced to smile. And this guy ran towards me and with a long knife in his hand, he stuck it on my throat and said, "Who are you laughing at? You think I'm funny? I'm going to kill you now." Man, when he said that, all that Holy Ghost smile went away real fast. Up the hill, the rebel steward just stand in line. And my wife was expecting a child. So, man, I was scared, but I was standing right close by my wife. I made sure I went real close to my wife with the hope that maybe this guy would not pick me. But the look, you know, in the face of everybody online, and the rebel reached out and grabbed my arms, took me away from my wife and said, "We are going to kill you now." Deep down in my heart, I made sure I didn't say loud enough for this guy to hear. Deep down in my heart, I said, "You're going to what?" The guy said, "We're going to kill you now." They took me aside. And my wife started to plead and said, "Oh, please don't kill him. He's my husband. He's not of that tribe. He doesn't fight for the government. He's a pastor. Please don't kill my husband." And the rebels say, "Woman, we don't believe your story. Go." My wife took a few steps behind a bush. She's standing there and washing off. The rebels took me to execution ground and told me to take off my shirt, take off my shoes, take off my socks. Whenever the rebels undressed you, it meant that you weren't coming back. It was finished. When my wife saw the rebels undressing me, she broke down and said, "Oh God, I lost him. He's not coming back. They will kill him." No amount of prayer she prayed made any difference. The rebels just intensify. Amen. Their desire to kill me. And I'm standing there with guns all around me, AK-47 rifles all around me. And one of the rebels say, "Just go ahead and shoot him." Isn't it funny? Here is a Holy Ghost, apostolic, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost filled. Jesus need baptized, preacher standing before the rebels, and they deciding when I was going to die. Isn't that funny? It was serious then, but we need to come to think about it. Who determines when you're going to die and when you're not going to die? Amen. Deep down in my heart, amen. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "Don't stop talking." Man, they would ask me one question and I would give the answer without even thinking, just talking out of my head. It said, "Just keep talking." Because the Bible said, when they bring you before the council, don't premeditate as to what to say. For in the same hour, the Holy Ghost will teach you, show you what to say. I'm answering their question. When they ran out of question, I will in turn ask them another question. And then something spoke to me and said, "You need to encourage yourself." I'm looking at the guns, dead bodies everywhere. These guys ready to execute me. And deep down in my heart, I said, "I shall not die, but live. I may declare the works of God in the land of the living." You see, the reason why some of us praise God like we are crazy. We are not crazy. We are just thinking where he brought us from. Yeah, because you see, the dead can praise God. When you're in your grave, you can praise God. So I told God, "If you deliver me from that firing squad, I'm going to praise him like nobody washing me. I'm going to worship like nobody is watching me. And nobody gonna praise you. I'm gonna give you a crazy praise. I shall not die." Because the Bible says, "Let everything that have breath, everything that have breath, praise the Lord." And I'm standing there encouraging myself. And then the rebel said, well, this been going too long now. Just go ahead and raise a rifle and just shoot him. Before they could shoot, count five, count four, count three, count two, count one. Before they could do the execution, something strange took place. A man showed up from nowhere. I didn't see him come in. I can't describe him. I've never seen any part of Liberia in all my life. He just showed up just in time. And he looked at me and said, he told the rebels, don't shoot yet. You got to know who rebels are. When rebels are ready for their action, nothing can stop them. Well, that's why they're called rebels. But this one stopped and I listened to this man. And the man turned around to me and said, man, who are you? I said, I'm Pastor or Reverend Edwin Fopa. I made sure I added my title, you know. Reverend Edwin Fopa. I pastor a church. He said, do you have an ID card? And I said, oh, yes. I gave him my ID card and he read the Reverend Edwin Fopa. He turned around to the executing squad, these killing machines, and said, don't shoot this man. This is the man of God. Leave him, let him go. Leave him, let him go. And the man turned around and said, man, take your clothes, take your shoes, and put them on. The exact words the angel told Peter in jail. Then it dawned on me that this was not just another man. Amen. I grabbed my clothes, grabbed my shoes. You say, man, did you take time to dress up and look nice? You got to be kidding me. When I grabbed my things, I just went running down the road to the valley of the shadow of death. When I turned around to run, one of the rebels grabbed an AK-47 and shot. But the bullets came flying around me. How do you miss with an AK-47? 32 rounds per minute. But I kept running. Amen. When my wife heard the sound of the gun, she jumped from behind a bush. She's running towards me. I'm running towards her. We came face to face. I said, honey, where in the world are you going? She said, when I heard the sound of the guns, I concluded that you have been killed. I was coming to see your dead body on the ground. So at least I would tell your children, I know where your daddy died. I look at my wife while running. I said, oh no, the God that we serve is better than that. He's better than that. He's an on-time God who may not come when you want him, but when you need him, he will surely show up, for he's an on-time God. Somebody shout yes. He will show up just in time. That's exactly why I'm not dead. And while I have the breath, I'm going to praise him all the days of my life. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Somebody shout yes. Yeah. Isn't it funny? What doesn't kill you strengthens you. What doesn't break you makes you. We ran to the next town. My children have been missing for 3 months. We saw them. They were all alive. And then that Sunday morning, I said, Lord, the devil almost killed me on Saturday, yesterday. But today's a Sunday. Hey, if the devil didn't kill you on Saturday, what makes you think he will kill you on Sunday? Then I'm sitting down, you know, there with so many displaced people, thousands of people in the town. It's Sunday. And the Lord said, Edwin, get up and start a church. I said, Lord, start a what? I said, Lord, this is war. People are dying everywhere. He said, that's your problem. I'm not just the God of the good time. I'm the God of the bad time. He said, this thing was meant to be a funeral, but I'm about to turn it around into a revival. Because you see, my sister, those that saw the rebels taking me to execution ground went back to Monrovia and saw my superintendent when he said, what happened to Edwin? He said, Edwin got killed. We saw them taking him. He didn't make it. God said, no, that's not a funeral. That's not a memorial service. I'm going to turn this thing around. So that day I said to my people, don't sit here. Today's a Sunday. Get us some chairs. Let's have church. We gathered some chairs on the porch and we are worshiping God. The song we're singing was, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God. The more we sang, the larger the crowd gathered. People came from everywhere to see a church on the front line. People came from everywhere to see a bunch of people who were not afraid right in the fiery furnace. The Holy Ghost fell on the porch. I saw people dancing and speaking in tongues. And then I told the church, well, on Thursday we're going to have a crusade in the middle of the town. On Thursday, we took our chairs to the middle of the town with thousands of people everywhere. When we started setting out the chairs, it started getting cloudy. The devil wanted to send the rain to mess up the outdoor crusade. We pointed our fingers to heaven and said, rain, we dare you. And now one drop of rain came down in 4 days. 8,000 people showed up. There were people standing on top of buildings, in the streets, everywhere. We couldn't even count the people. When we started preaching, the Holy Ghost fell. Amen. There were people standing on top of buildings receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. There were people on the street receiving the Holy Ghost. There was a girl in the back who wanted the Holy Ghost. She ran. Before she could get to the meadow, the Holy Ghost fell and she began to speak in tongues. Revival came. Right in the middle of our fiery furnace. As I'm closing tonight, we can have revival regardless of where the devil puts us. I say revival is possible. Stand on your feet right now. Stand on your feet. I feel something right now. Raise your hand towards heaven. And though this is longer than you have. Oh my shatala bahaya. Shatala bahaya baba. Somebody shout revival. Somebody shout revival. Yes, it's happening now. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Shabba baba baba. Let Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't go home like you came. While the music is playing tonight, I want you to run to this altar with all your might. Just run to this altar. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come from everywhere. Come, 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 come. Oh my shatalarabaha. You are sick tonight. Come. You are discouraged tonight. Come. Come from your shamananananaba shatalaba. Katalaba, katalaba, shatalaba. Okoshitalala mahatayaba. Mm-hmm.